Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
And this is the Shame Free Zone. Hi. I hope you all had a happy 4th if you happen to be in the United States. This is actually still a holiday for those of us in the USA. But we're broadcasting live in the Shame Free Zone here on BBS Radio. And we're going to take a little trip into a topic that is fun and fanciful and playful and, maybe just a teeny bit scary for some of you. I don't know. Depends on where you fall on the whole kink versus vanilla continuum. And I would like to stress that it is a continuum. So for those of you who think you don't have any interest in kink or BDSM, I would like to invite you to think again. Right now, all of those vampire shows are very, very popular, and there's a reason for that. And it has nothing to do with vanilla sex, okay? So open your mind and sit back and relax. And if you have anything that you'd like to add to this discussion, I'm going to invite you to participate in a couple of ways. In about 15 or 20 minutes, I'll be giving you a live call-in number so you can actually call in and ask questions of our two professionals who are our guests tonight. Or you could just go over to Facebook. If you happen to be one of my 3,000 friends, you can post something right now, and I promise I will read it on the air. I'll even mention your name. Okay. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce two very erotic, adventuresome, innovative women who are on the cutting edge of sexuality. They're both located in Santa Cruz, and they're part of something called Bondassage. And if you are on Facebook, then I've already posted their link to their website, and you hopefully have already watched the really, really cool video that is on the website. It's got a great soundtrack, and it's very erotic, and I invite you to go over there right now if you haven't already checked it out. The website is Bondassage. That's just like bondage, like it sounds, Bondassage, bondassage.com. And the founder of Bondassage is named Jaylene Bennis. Now, Jaylene is actually a certified massage therapist. See where the massage thing's coming in here. She's a Reiki master, a sexual shaman. She's got 20 years of experience and extensive training in a lot of healing modalities, you know, includes Swedish, acupressure, shiatsu, deep tissue, sports massage, rebirthing, trigger and active release, Thai massage, tantra, Taoist massage, aromatherapy, esoteric healing energy, and she's also a professional domina. Now, I'll bet a lot of you didn't realize that there were some professional dominants who were also healers. So, see, we're going to be playing outside the box today. And my other guest tonight is Mistress Montaigne. Mistress Montaigne also has a lot of training. She runs a Monterey Santa Cruz County-based social group, and she offers online resources for the BDSM community. She's also a professional and lifestyle dominatrix, and we're going to be asking them what the difference between professional and lifestyle is. She's also got about 20 years of experience, and she knows a lot about sexual practices, cross-dressing, BDSM, leather lifestyle, sexual fetishism, and erotic massage. She's a certified massage therapist with over 500 hours, actually, of certification in massage, which includes shiatsu and Reiki, and therapeutic massage, sensual massage. Anyway, without further ado, Mistress Montaigne and Jaylene Bennis, welcome to the Shame Free Zone.
Hi, Veronica. It's so nice to be here with you tonight.
And this is, if we need to clarify this so everybody gets used to whose voice is, that's Jaylene, right?
Yes. Hi, this is Jaylene. Thank you so much for having us tonight.
We're very happy to have you here. Montaigne, give me a shout-out.
Good evening, Veronica, and welcome to your audience as well.
Great. I just want to make sure everybody knows both of you are there. Now, I am going to focus in on Jaylene for just a couple of minutes here, but I will get back to you, Mrs. Montaigne. Want to ask Jaylene how in the heck you birthed this new service? What gave you the idea to combine massage with bondage?
What gave me the idea to combine massage and bondage? You know, I've been a practicing massage therapist for over 20 years and kinky my whole life. And I started doing professional dominatrix work about 4 years ago. And this is pretty much what I did in my sessions. You know, it was what I love to do, bondage, sensory deprivation, playing with the body. And it just grew out of the combination of my S&M work and my massage work.
Well, it's a very unique invention, I think I would call it. And when you first introduced the topic or the concept, were you kind of experimenting on people who had come in for massage, or how'd that
No. It was more what I was doing with my S&M clients. I really like to get them down on the table, tie them down, blindfold them, headphones, connected to specially selected music, and then play with the body. You know, do what we call corporal punishment, but which is kind of body percussion with either floggers or canes, crops, using my hands, that kind of thing. So it was... What I tended to blend in with my S&M sessions, you know, what I really like to do. And when I first came up with bondage and I had told somebody about it, they were really enthusiastic and thought I should do a video because they thought that this would be great for couples. And so that's originally why I, you know, trademarked the name and copyrighted the sequence. So we might do a video for couples. And then it just kind of grew out of there.
And you actually got, like, if people want to do bondage, got kits. I mean, I don't know if you actually provide the kits or you just tell people what kind of supplies they need to go buy. Or
In the beginning, I would give them a list of supplies. And I think it was a little bit frustrating for people when they got done with the training with me. They were eager to get going on it. And it took a few days or a week or whatever to gather things together. So when Montaigne and I decided to do these group workshops that are going to start in October, and Montaigne is a brilliant workshop leader. She's going to be doing the outside training. We decided just to include a kit as well. So when you're done with the training, here's your kit. You're all set to go.
That's awesome. Now,
yeah.
We've already got a few comments here on Facebook, and most of them are not taking our topic too terribly serious. So I had posed this question as well. I said, what do you think? Would you enjoy sensation play with while handcuffed? Soft, gentle sensations followed by the sting of a whip and perhaps a dildo up you know where? And here's what people had to say. We've got Corey Love. He just said laugh out loud. We got Sean Swainer says, Ronnie, stop that. Shivam Singh says laugh out loud. Then Charlie Neal said yes. Then Charlie Neal changed his mind and said, wait, no, I didn't read the whole thing. Get it? Whole thing. H-O-L-E.
Yeah.
And then Rich Ernest came in and said, not I, thank you.
Well, you know, it might not be for everybody, but it certainly proved very popular. It's been really great for people who maybe have had some experience with, you know, body work, maybe erotic body work, and have certainly had some fascination with kink or BDSM. And it's a really safe, gentle foray into this realm. You know, we give it's kind of a sampler plate, you know, and it's done very lightly. I mean, not very lightly, but I mean, there's no marks, no pain, you know. We don't want to scare anybody off. You know, we just want to give you a lot of different kinky sensation little tidbit appetizers to play around with and see what you like and find out what your body responds to.
I think that's, and if people go over to bondassage.com right now and just right there on the homepage, we've got this beautiful video. It really says it all because it is. in a lot of ways, very soft, romantic, and the bondage part of it is very mild. It's very mild, and I think the title, the name probably is more intimidating than anything for people, just the concept. And wouldn't you agree that a lot of people who think they're vanilla are actually playing with very mild forms of bondage, like tying their lover up with a scarf or using a blindfold or just, you know, whacking your butt during doggy-style sex?
Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely.
All of those things are part of BDSM, but they're also just part of what we consider mainstream lovemaking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So do you find that you get a lot of clients who are curious but afraid?
Yes, I get a lot of trepidation, and I think the one thing, because a lot of my clients are, most of my clients are male, so the one thing that I get the most resistance to is the blindfold. It's not being tied down or anything. It's the blindfold because, you know, then it's a visual and they want to see. I understand it, but there's a really profound shift in your consciousness when you take away sight and you take away your hearing, you know, to hear what's going on in the room. It really drops you deep into your body, and that's what I'm looking for, you know, is that profound kind of body awareness, body experience. And get you out of your head.
And that is now the thing, isn't it, about BDSM. They had some research that just came out of Arizona, some research facility, where they were actually establishing that BDSM has really advantageous effects on the physiology and hormones, cortisol levels, stress levels of the submissive.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I just had a heavier S&M session a couple days ago with one of my clients, and you know when we were done, he says, "I have never been so relaxed. It's very cathartic. It's very deeply healing and very very grounding, very deeply healing, very cathartic. And at the end, you're just so profoundly relaxed in a way that maybe massage can't take you there, or you know it's almost an ecstatic experience."
Yeah, and so it's mm-hmm. like you're combining the best of both worlds in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
and I think maybe that's the part that you know. Obviously, the posting there was meant to kind of titillate people, but in a lot of ways, this is actually not so much a sensual thing as it is a therapeutic, you know, stress reduction.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
You have a lot of clients who come to you for that.
Not so much. I think my clients are titillated. You know, they've seen it. They've maybe seen the video. They're curious. They've done a little bit of research about me, and they trust me. You know, and they come for that. They just come for a taste in it, of it. You know, they come to see. And a lot of them are surprised at what their body responds to. You know, several people. They would hate flogging, that it would be painful, but the deer skin flogger, the bunny flogger that I use is painful. You know, it's really, it's beautiful. You know, it's beautiful and steady, and it's really wonderful. So I think they're amused, I think, sometimes at the things that they thought they wouldn't like that they do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, so now what kind of, you said you are going to be doing a couple's video. Do you... or DVD, do you have couples come in for sessions?
You know, I have no idea when the couples DVD will. It's a project, but it won't happen for a year or so. I've had a few couples come in. I've worked with couples in both my S&M and bondage. And right now what I'm doing is having, you know, they flip a coin and one's on the table and the other one I have help participate. So I'm kind of training them in what I'm doing, you know. So that's the way it is now, you know. Montana and I have talked about putting two tables up in the room and having us both work on them at the same time. You know, there's certainly different ways to do it. But I thought in the beginning, 2 years ago when I first came up with this sequence, that that it would be a great thing for couples, you know, to learn to do to each other, you know, safely.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't had a lot of couples actually come in for sessions, though.
No, probably a handful. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I get a lot of clients. I get a lot of men who call to say that they want to bring their wives in, but when I tell them I need to speak to the wife, I'd be happy to do it as long as they spoke to the wife first, and then I never get a call back. So there's that.
But sometimes men seem to have a really inappropriate sense of how to surprise their wives or girlfriends.
Yes. Look, honey, you thought we were going shopping.
Yeah, but we're coming here instead. That's interesting. Well, so how do you incorporate the massage? And, you know, tell us a little bit about the actual session. Do you start off with a massage?
I start off with, I have them strip down and kneel, and I collar and cuff them, tie them to the table, put on the blindfold and headphones, and then I start with some rocking, some maybe fur mitts up and down the body, just a little bit of sensation play to get them kind of in the right space. Then I start with massage, and what I found that's different from what I think of what I consider traditional full body sensual massage is I do a body part and then I do something kinky. So we in bond massage we do a section of the body and then we go and do something kinky, and then we do another section of the body and we go do something kinky. You know, so we're always doing keeping them on edge. I'm not doing the entire back and let them fall asleep and then try to wake them up and, you know, start with a flog or something. I'm always keeping them on the edge throughout the whole sequence. So there's massage all the way through it. It's massage and, you know, a little bit of kinky stuff, you know, and back and forth.
Yeah, that was actually what I saw in the video, was that it looked like you were massaging and then using, you know, a sensation of some sort and then more massage.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's an interesting marriage, actually, because that is kind of how you do pro-dom work, too.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, only, of course, it's much more severe. But you want to be tender with the area that you're torturing.
Yeah, I just took it down a few notches because, again, in my S&M work, I tend to play really hard, you know. So,
yeah.
So it was a journey for me too to bring it down and to make it lighter. You know, it was wonderful because so many people who maybe were too scared or whatever to go to a traditional dominatrix and have a session, that's huge. You know, for a lot of people it's scary. You know, even though it might be fascinating and you've been dreaming about it your whole life, it's huge. And this is a nice, gentle way to kind of try some kinky stuff and see what you like. And then if it really appeals to you and you want to go explore more, you know, you have something, you know, to base that on, to grow from.
Well, Mistress Montaigne, I know you've been standing by very, very quietly there. I want to bring you into this, and I thought maybe you could actually kind of educate us to what the difference between a lifestyle and professional dominatrix is.
Well, that's a good question, and I can only really speak for myself and my experience. I started in the leather alternative sexuality kink lifestyle in 1989. Very quickly kind of got in with the in crowd, then got involved with a educational and social group in the Washington, D.C. area. And from there, started my domination business and a cross-dressing business. So for me, the two terms have tracked almost on a parallel path where I'm doing it professionally. I'm getting paid for my time and expertise as a dominatrix. But additionally, I'm living the lifestyle. And what I mean is that I pretty much practice what I preach every day. I have had in the past live in submissive male and females that have, lived in my household with me. I have always lived in a place where I had my own dungeon that I use either personally or professionally. But for me, the two worlds blend together seamlessly. For others, they may just want to do this as a business. They feel that it's an opportunity to have an interesting job and get a little income from it. But when they go home at night, they, you know, they put on their their jeans and their UGG boots and hang out like normal people, where I might be lounging about in thigh-high boots.
Oh, wow, really? So you actually wear the yeah, would you call that fetish wear?
Frequently. I have a big leather fetish, so yeah, you can find me out and about in all kinds of leather outfits.
Huh. Interesting. And then what about your relationships? Like, so the people who live with you are always submissive to you? You've never, like, come out of that role?
Yes, I've always been submissive, or as we
submissive? Are you submissive?
No, I'm not.
No, they're submissive.
They are submissive, or sometimes they will switch. And so on a certain predetermined day, they might decide that they will be dominant, not necessarily with me, but perhaps with another play partner. But I'm like the queen bee of the household. I'm always dominant.
Okay. So they might be switches, but they would do that somewhere else.
Right, with some other person.
And can you explain to our listeners what a switch is?
A switch is somebody that likes to play both submissive and dominant roles, or top and bottom roles. So they can easily be the giver or the receiver, depending upon who they're playing with or their situation. If it came to someone who might be bisexual, who likes men and who likes women. It just depends who they're with.
Right, right. Well, I definitely consider myself both a bisexual and a switch.
Mm-hmm.
but not lifestyle. Not lifestyle that I would, you know, be hanging around the house in fetish wear. But so now, how did you figure out that you wanted to go lifestyle? Did you start off lifestyle and then decide to also do it professionally, or did you start off professionally and then decided you wanted to make a lifestyle out of it? How did that work?
Well, for me, it was I was curious more than anything about how this all works and began meeting people, going to meetings, and I was doing it more in my, let's say, my private life. I had another career, and but I was doing this, you know, like on the weekends. And I happened to meet a woman who was a professional dominatrix in the New York, New Jersey metro area, and we became friends. And I was very curious, again, about how she lived, her lifestyle. She did it for a living. She also entertained socially in her private life. And she became my mentor. And she's the one that encouraged me to do it professionally. Additionally, I connected with a few other women who had been in the lifestyle a little bit longer than I had been. And we sort of combined forces. So we created a business. This was pre-internet days in the Washington, D.C. area. So I really was living the best of both worlds. I kind of quit my other job and saw professional clients.
So, I'll ask you some of the same stupid questions they've always asked me when I was working as an escort. Does working as a pro dom have a deleterious effect on your life as a lifestyle dom?
Not necessarily. I really embraced. I love what I do, and I don't do anything that I don't like to do in any aspect of my life. So by working as a pro dom, I mean, it just, you know, doubles my pleasure.
You think? Yeah, I've tried to explain this to people that as an escort, I just came home even twice as horny as I would have been. But but I guess you just would have to go through it to know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Jaylene, do you consider yourself pro-dom and lifestyle dom, or just pro-dom?
Just pro-dom. Yeah, I don't do it in my lifestyle. I'm single right now. I don't have a partner, and I'm happy that way. And I do it for work,
right.
And I'm happy with that. Yeah, that works for me.
Now, do you ever find that BDSM winds up in your personal life?
Oh, sure, from time to time. From time to time. You know, I'll go to the dungeon with one of my clients or something like that, or you know, when I go up to Folsom Street Fair and play around and flirt around up there. But before I did Bondissage, before I came up with Bondissage, you know, my S&M sessions were, they were a lot for me. You know, they were a lot of energy. They were really, really fun and also really draining. And I needed to do other things in order to put that much energy into my sessions, you know, so I really needed to separate the two for me, for myself, you know.
Yeah, well, and maybe you can explain that, because I think a lot of people don't understand that dominance is a lot of work for the top and a lot of pleasure for the sub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. So, it's a lot, and it's fun. It's great, and it's fun. It's really fun, and I get really high doing it, and then a couple hours later, I would just be exhausted, just, you know, just totally wiped out, and, you know, it's top drop, or, you know, they call sub drop, too, but it's, yeah, it was a lot for me, and for me personally.
Oh, explain that term, we've got listeners who don't know, never ever heard top drop. What is that?
Well, top drop, you know, you hear more about sub drop, and sub drop is, it's the two sides of the same coin. You know, you're all into this experience that's really amazing and electrifying and profound and can be, you know, intense. And it's a lot of energy. Maybe if they perform or they're performers or, you know, doing something like that, it might be similar to that, people that do solos or perform or act, things like that. And you get very high afterwards. And then about an hour and a half later, you're exhausted. Your energy just drops, and you're wiped out. So, you know, so I wasn't able to do, you know, energetically more than two, maybe three was pushing it in a day. You know, that was really difficult for me. Whereas doing massage, and I had been doing massage for 20 years, you know, I would do 8 massages in a day, and I'd be fine with it. You know, so it might have been that, you know, I needed to build up stamina. It might have been something else. But, you know, after a couple of years of doing pro-dom work, I developed Bondissage, and I can do Bondissage till the cows come home, and I'm thrilled with it. I don't get that same kind of intense top drop that I do with my S&M sessions.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah, because as an escort, I definitely, for me, it was 5 clients a day. That was my absolute maximum. And I still found that to be a bit of an energy drain. So I worked myself to 5, you know, maybe 3 to 5 clients a day, and only 3 times a week. And then from there, you know, I ended up working 1 client for 2 days once a month.
Yeah, it's a lot nicer, isn't it?
My prices were off the charts, so I only had to see 1 client a month to be making a 6-figure income. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody who's never, ever experienced any BDSM? I'm going to assume you get a lot of first-timers here. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If Montaigne wants to take the question, that's great. Whichever one of you, maybe both of you. But what would you say to the first-timer who's a little bit intrigued and a lot terrified?
So what I tell them is that I don't bite. I merely nibble. And then they laugh a little bit. And I hold their hand, and I affirm that I understand that they're nervous, and they're also excited, and there's anticipation, and all of those emotions and sensations are going on, and I just acknowledge that they are. It's the same as, you know, getting on the roller coaster ride. You want to do it. There's a little bit of, you know, trepidation. Your heart's pounding. But you still lock yourself into the seat and let go. Mm. And so I think by assuring them that it's really a very safe, gentle, exhilarating ride that they're going to take, and that we're not going to do anything against their will. And so they always understand that even though they're being tied down to the table, if they're uncomfortable at any point in time, all they have to do is say mercy or, you know, please let me go. If they beg nicely, we will untie them.
Well, you're much nicer than I am. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, it's a fine line, isn't it? Because if you're not a little bit scary, it loses all of its appeal.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And so, I congratulate them on being brave enough to, you know, to try this. I say, you know, I'm like, good for you for trying this. You know, it's really wonderful to kind of expand your comfort zone and to try something that's maybe a little bit scary. And I reassure them as well that, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I'm great at reading the body, but if they need, you know, if they need to change their body position, if they get a cramp, if they need to blow their nose, if something's not working for them, just let me know and I'll stop and we'll fix it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps too, you know, just that they know that they're ultimately in control of you know, of the end game of this.
That really is an important point for any kind of BDSM, though, isn't it? That the sub is actually the one that's in charge. And
mm-hmm.
you are, you know, hopefully not doing a bunch of topping from the bottom because that's annoying as hell. But you're definitely, you know, the one who comes in and says, these are my limits. I want this. I don't want that. I do want marks. I don't want marks, you know. Would you guys agree with that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the mantra in the leather community is safe, sane, and consensual. And given that creates a great foundation for people to feel safe, comfortable, and heard when their concerns are expressed. You know, when we play in this realm, it's not just that we're doing something physical to the body, we're also affecting their emotional and their mental state and their energetic state. So a lot comes into play, and there's just a lot of elements going on. And Jalene and I think the biggest thing that we offer people is that we're very real. We're very authentic. We don't put on airs. We don't have to put on a costume or some severe makeup to make this event happen. We're like, you know, the girls next door. We are really truly authentic people, and that's what our clients pick up on almost immediately, that sets them at ease. We're not prima donnas.
Yes. And, you know, I'll tell you, I just can't stand doms who are.
Mm-hmm. You know, I heard a really good phrase from my good friend, Mrs. Evening X, and she says, make them want it, and then make them want it more. You know, there's nothing like starting to do a little bit of flogging and to see their bottom reaching up for the flogger. You know, that's what you want. You want to encourage them to open up to this, you know. That's really, it might be jumping ahead, but that's really why I want body workers who I'm training to do this. I want people who are body workers who are used to reading the body. So you know when they're clenching, you know when they're holding their breath, you know, and you're encouraging them energetically, because we're not talking to these people, you know, to our clients during the session. We're really present and focused and reading the body and connecting with their energy.
Oh, well, that's different, isn't it? Because don't a lot of dominant sessions use verbal, you know,
mm-hmm.
like even humiliation?
Absolutely,
yeah,
but that's what I didn't do in my own S&M work. I didn't do a lot of things that quote-unquote traditional doms did. You know, I don't do fetish dressing. I don't do verbal humiliation. I don't do role play. And initially, that's why, you know, Montaigne and I, that's why I dragged Montaigne out of her retirement, because I needed someone to, you know, to send these people who were calling me asking for things that I didn't offer. And, you know, it's really important in this kind of work, as you know, too, that you don't do things that you're not comfortable with. And I'm just not comfortable with that, and maybe from my massage background, but I'm so good at doing the playing with the body. I loved sensory deprivation for my clients. I loved bondage. I loved making them go into their body. And it wasn't so fun for me to do, you know, any kind of role play or back and forth you know, psychological kind of domination, whereas Montaigne's brilliant at it, you know, so it was such a nice partnership in the beginning to be able to say, can I send these people to you? And she so graciously, you know, came out of retirement and, and took them.
Oh, okay. So you guys kind of able to play off of each other there. Mm-hmm. I never really have cared for the verbal humiliation aspect of it either, but certainly I like scaring the hell out of people. No.
That is fun, isn't it? Yeah.
So bondage is kind of a kinder, gentler form of BDSM. Would that be a correct assessment?
I think it's a very accurate assessment.
And it's a great place to start, especially if you just want to experience the therapeutic aspect of BDSM along with the therapeutic aspects of massage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. And what else can you tell us about it or about...
Well, why don't I let Montaigne... We're going to be starting... You know, we've gotten so much amazing response from this. You know, I started training, you know, first I trained Montaigne and then started training other people because I had gotten such huge response from this when I started offering it back in 2008. And, again, I really don't like to travel. It's just this... Yeah, I love where I live. I live at the beach, and so it was important for me to kind of get this work out. And so, how was I going to do this? You know, I want to take it global, and I don't want to travel. So, Montaigne is my outside group workshop trainer. We're starting to offer group workshops across the country starting in October. And so, maybe she can talk. Montaigne, you want to talk a little bit about that?
And those workshops are for who?
The workshops are designed for folks that would like to add an interesting twist to maybe an existing massage business or pro-doms who, like you said, want to find something kinder and gentler to offer their clients or for new clients. And as the buzz is getting out about bondage, people are curious. So there are a lot of bodywork practitioners who are starting, their clients are actually asking them, do they offer it? And they're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And so the clients are educating the practitioners and saying, you've got to go see this website. And
oh, you
so
must be very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we certainly are.
Yeah, you know how I found out about you was from Annie Sprinkle. For our listeners who don't know who Annie is, she's just like one of the most famous former porn stars in the world. She's now a performance artist, and she's definitely a lovable, kind sex worker. So when she tells you that she enjoys something, you know that it's got a heart in it because she only likes things that have a heart. So when she told me about it, she was just all aglow.
She's our number one fan, and in fact, when you spoke about couples, she and her committed life partner come to Jillian and I for four-handed bondage sessions, and they love it. They rave about it.
Yeah. Tell us more about the workshop, and where are you going to be? How can people – and first of all, so this would be good for people who are massage therapists or pro-doms, but would it also be good for couples who want to be able to do this to each other?
Most definitely. You know, right now we are offering workshops in several major U.S. cities this year and next, and the information is on our website, bondage.com. And perhaps in the near future we will design a specific couples workshop as people request that, we'll be happy to accommodate them. Currently,
yeah, but
I
could certainly see where it's, you know, even if it's not a couple's workshop, that you could take it and use it that way.
Of course. You can use it in your private life. I'd say probably the majority of folks that are going to take the training currently are a professional of some sort who want to expand that practice.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's interesting because we've got another comment here on Facebook from Eric Johnson, and he says, I'm going to go all spiritual and say that it's much better to give than to receive. So, I have to, when I first heard about it, I was thinking, wow, this really sounds like a lot of fun. Tie your partner up, you know, give them a massage. Who doesn't want a back rub, right? Only this is a back rub with a twist.
With a twist, yes.
So, can you guys describe it for our listeners who may not actually have tuned into the video yet or for whatever reason, don't have the time, don't have the bandwidth. Could you just kind of describe, and I'm going to put this to you, Jaylene, and ask you to describe a typical, kind of walk us through a typical bond massage session. Let's say somebody's, you know, okay, I'm going to take the plunge and I'm going to try this new experience. What happens? When they walk in, are they walking into a dungeon, or does it look like your typical massage,
Each practitioner will put their own spin on it. We have a couple of dominatrix who do their work in a dungeon, but my particular space looks very spa-like. It's very therapeutic, although I do have black satin sheets down. But it's all dark blues and lots of candles in the room's really warm. And so my clients would come in. I do a little pre-session interview with them first to talk about medical things and see if they have any shoulder problems because, you know, the second part of the massage, when they're face up, I tie their hands over their heads, you know, up above them. So I have them go to the bathroom and take off all their clothes, come out naked, and then they kneel down for me. And I put a leather collar on their neck and cuffs on their wrists and their ankles. And then I have them go up on the massage table, lay down face down. There's a pillow underneath their hip area. I put a blindfold on their eyes. It's a fur-lined leather blindfold on their eyes. And then wireless headphones on their head, over their ears. And the music that they're hearing in their headphones, I have on a splitter so I can also hear it in the room. And so I'm thinking my movements and my rhythm to what the music is doing right now. And I've got really lovely kind of slower ambient music with a definite pulse, but with a slower pulse.
Oh, come on. You know you have Trent Reznor.
Yes. I've got a bunch. Then, you know, again, I tie their hands down to the sides, spread their legs apart, tie their ankles to the tables, you know, to the table legs. And then we start with some slow rocking, maybe do a little bit of, I have fur mitts, and I rub, you know, soft and sensuously rub the fur mitts over their body. If I'm going to be using my bunny flogger, I might do some really light, very, very light flogging on them just to kind of get their skin awakened. And then I start with massage. Down the back, put hot packs on their lower back. I mean, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but we do use hot packs, massage, you know, so I'll work their shoulder and their arm, and then I'll go down and I'll say hello to their genitals, kind of oil that up and get that awake, and go back and get them all aroused, and then go work the other shoulder and the other arm, and then I go back and do a little bit of very light anal massage. If they're receptive, I might be doing some very gentle prostate massage. And then oftentimes, if they're really receptive to that, I'll insert, we have a stainless steel anal hook, which looks really scary and is not at all. It looks very scary. It's not. But it's pretty much the diameter of, you know, my pinky. So it's not very big. And that goes inside, and it has a hole on the outside that I take a rope and I tie it up to the back of their collar. So they're kind of getting the mind, and I can't say the word, but, you know, they're kind of getting that little kind of...
Actually, you can't say the word. This is Internet, and we're in the same free zone.
Oh, perfect. So they give them a whole mind fuck that they're
right.
On a hook. And then I go back and I do some more massage on their back, you know. So while they're dealing with that inside of them, you know, tied up to their collar, not too tightly, but definitely tight enough so that if they wiggle around enough, they're pulling on it, you know, themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty delicious, and I'm not even a backdoor kind of girl, but that whole setup sounds really very intriguing.
Right. It's not a traditional butt plug, which can be a little bit larger to get in. You know, it's very easy. If you can take a pinky or an index finger, it slides in really easily, and yet it's definitely something kinky that they're not going to, you know, be doing, you know, day to day. Then we'll include a little bit of sensation play, so maybe use some vibrating tools. We have a lot of what we call pervertibles that we've used, you know, kind of common household items, but a lot of, you know, kink items as well. So we'll do a little bit of maybe vibration on the genitals, on the anal area, around the hook and things to liven things up, you know, after we've done the back massage. And then we do leg massage, and then we take out the hook, and then we do a little bit of very light corporal punishment, which is very light flogging. I love to take two canes. Many, many people are terrified of canes, or they're not their first go-to, you know, body percussion.
Well, the potential for damage on a cane is pretty high, right?
Absolutely, it can be. It can be a really, really terrifying and deadly tool. But we use this in bondage. I often use two of them at the same time to tap along the meridians and tap along the energy lines in the body. And this is done in conjunction to the rhythms that I'm hearing in the music, that they're hearing in the music. It's very, very profound and very trance-like to do that. So we'll do some body percussion, maybe bring up the intensity if I'm seeing them raise their bottom up in the air and it seems like they're liking it. We might use switches, you know, little branches tied together, that kind of thing. A lot of fun spanking, you know. Again, nothing outrageous, nothing. I don't want them clamping down. I want them opening up and, you know, begging for it with their body.
So you're actually, what you're doing, instead of, you know, engendering fear and recoiling, you're actually encouraging desire. You're creating desire.
Absolutely. Creating desire, absolutely. Absolutely. Then we turn them over, again, tie them with their legs apart and their hands overhead. It's a much more vulnerable position than have your hands at the side. You know, it stretches the skin over your torso. It tightens your nipples, you know, makes that more sensitive. We start with a little bit of massage on the legs, maybe do some nipple suction cups or nipple clips. I love to tie up cock and balls, you know, tie up the balls.
Little CBT.
And then the front of the body is mainly sensation play. It's kind of a free-form sensation play. So we use some scratchy things, some pokey things, some very soft things, vibrating, you know, very light. And I'm seeing what they're responding to. And again, within the sensation play, I'm always cognizant of keeping that connection with their genitals, you know, so I'm always still playing with them genitally, you know, and to keep them erotically aroused while I'm doing this kind of sensation play, because it tends to create new neural pathways, and your brain will end up associating, you know, this sensation with arousal. You know, you can retrain your brain to reprogram your brain to, you know, to like these kind of things. So, and that's what I used to do in my S&M sessions, too, was always kind of engage their genitals as I was doing other things, you know, to keep them aroused on many different levels.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And then,
well,
yeah.
Okay, now that we're all aroused. No.
Then we let things take their normal course and, you know, And we finish with nice hot towels on you, wrap you up in a blanket, and kind of let you float for a while, you know, and just kind of absorb the experience, you know. So we do block off generally at least, half an hour more than what the session is to let you sink in and let you just kind of float on this kind of ecstatic, carbonated kind of experience, you know.
Oh, yeah, this collection of, I mean, you know, what a cocktail of endorphins and, you know, released at this point.
Monty, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I think Jaylene covered the sequence in, you know, beautiful detail. There are a little, some extra little surprises that you will only get if you book a session with us. And additionally, you know, we have a basic sequence that we do kind of for our beginners. But if we see people on a regular basis, oftentimes they will ask us either for a longer session or to incorporate one or more of the sensation things that we do. So somebody may enjoy flogging and they want to, us to spend more time doing that flogging, we will. If somebody wants more anal play, we'll spend more time there. So we have, like, we're willing to work with special requests and book longer sessions to incorporate more play time.
Well, the part that really got me, other than the beautiful erotic video that you have on your website, which is very alluring, but was the music that you guys actually put, and twofold, not just that you've got headsets on your client or patient, whatever you want to call them, but that you are also working to the music, with the beat of the music. Mm-hmm. I thought that was an added touch that was just really... You know, it's almost taking it to, you know, I don't know, virtual reality / flotation tank.
Well, thank you. You know, I spent so many hours with the music and so much money going through, you know, going through all this different music, and it was, and it's still a work in process. You know, I've narrowed it down now to, you know, slower ambient music that doesn't have any English words in it, because I found that people were tending to, you know, pay attention to any kind of English lyrics. So I don't have any English music, you know, English lyrics on that. And again, both in Montaigne and my personal studios, you know, because I come from a spa background too, I make it really inviting. You know, there's candles, it's beautiful, the bathroom's spotless, there's chocolates and mints and, you know, mineral water, and my table is really padded. And so it's a very, it's not your traditional dungeon S&M type of experience for me, yeah.
Yeah, right. Very,
yeah, the client feels very nurtured and very cared for, and enough, it's not that they don't get that in other types of sessions, but it's almost, it's so palpable, and I think they're a little surprised that they get all of this attention and attention to detail that's focused solely for their benefit.
Well, especially from two pro doms. That's highly unusual.
I know. We have the wicked side and the sweet side.
Yes, I think it's the best of both worlds. I mean, oftentimes when you go to work with a particular mistress, it's like, you know, she's taking your money and also gratifying her own ego. so there isn't
that
always that focus on customer satisfaction, you know?
Right. But, if, you know, what we've noticed is that, well, and what I've noticed in, on the message boards and in my own pro dom session, there's really only a small percentage of clients who want that extreme, harsh, cruel, you know, unforgiving mistress. While the majority are really looking to be nurtured. They want that sensual side. They want someone to be in control, but they want it to be the softer side of control. They're
well,
looking
the
for intimacy.
The whole thing about giving up control is this is what we do with any professional that we pay. If you go to a therapist, you're giving up control. You go to a doctor, you're giving up control. You go to a hairstylist, you're giving up control. You go to a restaurant, you're giving up control. It means usually it's vacation time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and the seeing a therapist is not exactly my idea of a vacation.
Of a vacation, no.
But I'm seeing my hairdresser this week, and I definitely look forward to that because she just does everything, and all I have to do is go, hey, what do you think about this color?
Not fun. Great.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, tell us a little bit more about the workshops, what states and cities you're going to be in. We got about 5 minutes left here, so I want to make sure that people know where they can get training for bondage if they decide to set
it up. Sure. Montaigne, do you have that in front of you? Otherwise,
I don't have the whole list, so I'll tell you that Ms. Jaylene and I are available here in Santa Cruz to do either one-on-one or small groups. And then the larger group format workshops will take place in cities such as New York, Chicago, Los Angeles. And I think we decided on either Portland or Seattle. And
yeah, I do have the dates in front of me if you want those. And we're doing New York October 2nd. We'll be in Montaigne will be in Chicago October 16th. I think they're all Saturdays as well. And then after the holidays, January 22nd, there'll be a group training in Los Angeles. January 29th, we'll be in Phoenix. February 26th in Miami. March 26th in New Orleans. That should be fun. April 30th in Seattle. And then late May and through the beginning of June, Montaigne is going to go to Europe and she's going to set up a workshop in London, Rome, and somewhere in Germany.
You guys are going to be everywhere.
Hope so. That'd be good.
Seriously, you're really taking off. I hope you got your copyrights and trademarks in order.
They're all done.
Good.
I've got all my ducks in a row, so to speak. Yeah, it's pretty much everything set up.
Now, if they go to bondage.com, can they sign up for the workshops there? Or?
Yes, they will. My web person is in transition right now. He's moving. So they'll be able to contact either myself or my marketing person, Donia Love, and they'll be able to contact us and get on board with the training, and then we'll be able to proceed to sign up online. I think at the end of the month they'll be able to register right through the website, but they can always contact us ahead of time to do that as well and get on the list.
Fabulous. Well, now, is it hard to get appointments with the two of you, or do you have other DOMs at the Santa Cruz location? Do you have other satellite offices? Where can people come if they want to actually have a session with you?
Well, if they want to have a session with Montaigne or I, we are in a little bit south of Santa Cruz in Capitola. And I work only in Capitola. Montaigne is in Capitola, and she also has her dungeon in Prunedale, which is about half an hour south and inland, North Monterey County. So I only work out of my studio. However, I think I've just trained the 14th practitioner in California. So I do have bondage practitioners from Sacramento and down to Santa Cruz. A few in San Francisco, a couple in Marin. So there's a lot to choose from within the Northern California area if people are interested in coming to Northern California.
And as you start traveling around the U.S. and Europe with the workshops, are you going to start forming a directory of bondage practitioners on your website?
There already is. There's a directory right now on the website under practitioners. We have everybody listed. Yeah, it's part of the group workshop training also to have professionals, if they'd like to advertise on the website, and I'm offering them 6 months up on the website for free, to start their business growing too as part of the workshop. That's part of the training.
Fabulous. Oh, that's awesome. Well, I really can't wait to come down for my first introductory session.
I know. We're excited to have you. Are you going to go for the four-handed? We should do four-handed on you. That'd be wonderful.
Oh, that's one thing. Okay, quickly. Tell us about the four-hand bondage session.
You can go ahead with that, Montaigne.
Okay. Well, those are affectionately known as joining the 4-H club, kind of like the Mile High Club. So, again, it's really about doubling your pleasure. And so it's Miss Jillian and myself focus all of our attention on the clients. And if they thought just having two hands was fun, this is really the e-ticket ride.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a four-handed massage years and years ago. It was a hot rock massage. And these two gay guys massaged me from head to toe and then put an oatmeal pack on my feet.
Oh, wonderful.
So I have some sense of what four hands feel like, and it's just, you're in a completely another universe at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to have a four-handed bondage.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you.
All right, you guys. Well, I'm going to look you up. I think I'm going to be down in Santa Cruz in August, and I can't wait.
Perfect. All right. We'll make a date.
All right. All right, ladies. Well, I should say mistresses. thank you so much for showing us the kinder, gentler side of pro-dom work. And I wish you a lot of success with your workshops, because I think this is filling a niche for a lot of people, not just professionals, but for those of us who like the services of professionals. I think it's a really interesting takeoff on the whole idea of what is a therapeutic massage.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for having us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
My
All right.
Pleasure.
Good night.
Good night.